Welcome to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Paul Brown. Since tomorrow is Mother's Day, Pastor Paul will be looking at selected scripture passages to encourage us to bless and honor the precious women the Lord has placed in our lives.
Jesus is the bridge.
It was Friday, July 23rd, 1976, 3 days after my 17th birthday, and I just got paid. Heading home after work with my dad and my brother to get cleaned up and then go out on the town with some friends, we walked into my brother's apartment to hear my sister-in-law say, "Your mom died today." Well, by God's grace, I had recommitted my life to Jesus 3 months earlier and was beginning to grow in Him. And at that moment, I experienced His sustaining grace in ways that I can't begin to describe. But I also experienced something else that profoundly impacted me from that day forward. After I got over the initial shock of the words my sister-in-law said to us, my mind was filled with two distinct memories. First, things I said and did to my mom that I now regretted. And second, things I should have said to and done for my mom, but didn't. At that moment, I realized how self-centered I had been, and I asked the Lord to forgive me and change me deep within. I wanted to start treating people with honor and respect while I had the opportunity, something I am still learning how to do. Fast forward 36-plus years to December 2012 when my father died. Not only did I not have any regrets about the way I treated him, I officiated at his funeral and rejoiced in the opportunity to tell of the great relationship we shared. I was able to deliver a eulogy with joy because they were things I said about him and to him while he was alive. Well, tomorrow is Mother's Day, and I want to have a little fireside chat with all of you about honoring our mothers. Honor is a word that is used frequently in the Bible. The word honor means high public esteem, fame, or even glory. It refers to placing great worth and value on someone or something. The Hebrew word actually means heavy. It means to regard someone worthy of a weight of respect. It makes me think of the song in the 1969 by the Hollies, and I changed the words a little bit to say, "She is heavy. She's my mother." A practical definition for honor would be to treat people as special, doing more than what is expected, and all the while having a good attitude. Exodus 20:12 says this, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Leviticus 19:3, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father." And Ephesians 6:1-3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." These verses tell us, don't simply obey your mother, do it in such a way that she is honored. And as believers, we are instructed to honor one another even more. In fact, it tells us to battle it out to see who can give the most honor to the other person. Romans 12:10 says it this way, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." 1 Peter 3:7 says it to husbands, "You husbands in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." What that means, men, is that we should lift our wives up on a pedestal, showing anyone and everyone how important she is to us. And men, this is really especially important because we are supposed to be an example to our children. A picture truly is worth a thousand words. And when our children see us treating our wives with honor, it helps them understand how they should treat their mother. So today, I just want to give you a few practical suggestions on how you can honor your mother. And if you are like me and don't have your natural mother still living, you have a lot of options for finding a new mother to honor. It could be a grandmother, a stepmother, a mother-in-law, It could be an older woman in the church or even the mother of your children. Let me read one verse real quickly for you from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. Paul gives instruction to Timothy on how he should direct the church. And he says that the church is like a family. And he says in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 5, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor your mother the way God wants you to, and then treat the women in the church the same way. Imagine how the elderly in the church would feel if we did this, if we truly honored every older woman in the church as if she was our mom. Imagine the testimony the church would have if we did that. What would a watching world think if they saw us treating everyone with honor?" Well, let's come back specifically to mom. Where do we begin in our commitment to honor our mother? I'm going to give you four suggestions. First, let's start with your thoughts. Your thoughts and your attitudes. Have you ever noticed at funerals how people speak so highly of those who have died? You go away thinking that that person was the greatest person in the world. Was it true? Probably not. But at that moment, they are choosing to focus on the good things about that person and share it with others. It reminds me of the time that a Chicago mobster died, and his mobster brother hired a minister to come and say nice things about his brother. The mobster said to the minister, "I don't care about all the details of what you share, but I want you to tell everyone that my brother was a saint." Well, the minister knew that wasn't true, but he agreed to do it. When the funeral began, the minister stood and said, "This man was one of the most despicable men who ever lived. He was a liar and a thief, a murderer and an adulterer, and he terrorized our city for decades. But compared to his brother, he was a saint." Well, perhaps for a lot of you, Mother's Day is a difficult time of year. You might want to say to me right now, "Paul, my mom is not a nice person, and it's hard to think good thoughts and have a good attitude toward her." I want to suggest to you that you focus with me for a second on God's thoughts and attitude toward us. Listen to what David said in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it." Later in this psalm, verse 17 and 18, David says this, "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." What David is saying is profound. God knows everything about us, the good and the bad. Our thoughts, words we say, even words we choose at the last second not to say. And he still loves us. He honors us by calling us his children, joint heirs with Christ, trophies of his grace. Yes, we are marred and fallen, but we are still made in his image. And wouldn't it be great if we were more like him, choosing to see the good, and then resting in his sovereign grace, which is able to transform people more into his image? I want to encourage you, please don't have a bad attitude toward your mother. Be imitators of God and be gracious and merciful. Instead of fixing our minds, our thoughts on negative things, choose to fix our minds on the good qualities in their lives. This will have a dramatic impact on our attitude toward them. And by the way, God takes this command to honor very seriously. In Proverbs 30, verse 17, he says, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it." That's a graphic description of how much God hates it when we dishonor our parents. The eye is the window to the soul. If our soul is filled with love for our mom, our eyes will show it. We should be able to look directly into her eyes and let her see that we honor her from the depth of our soul. What I'd like to say is, don't act like a valley girl. You roll your eyes back in your head, open your mouth, and let air come out and go, "Pah!" No, don't do that. Look at her with honor. Let her see in the window to your soul that you respect her deeply. How do I do that? I've got to overlook small things. Stop making a federal case over everything they say or do that's wrong. And don't broadcast to others every little thing that they do wrong. If you have to talk about weaknesses and faults to someone else, make sure it is someone who is going to engage with you in helping them overcome those problems. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." Don't broadcast sin. Cover it up. Deal with it personally. Don't share it with others. And if they are doing something seriously wrong, then follow the counsel of 1 Timothy 5:1 and 2 and appeal to them privately and respectfully and address the issue. So stop sweating little things. These little things may seem important right now, but they will not matter 20 years from now. Let them go. Choose to be honoring and forgiving. Now, this new attitude of honor will even impact our posture. Leviticus 19:32 says, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord." This is a picture of a courtroom where the judge is about to walk in and the bailiff says, "All rise for honorable so-and-so." And that's the way you begin to feel towards your mom. You honor her like a judge in a courtroom. There's respect, and it shows in the physical way you are around her. So now, with renewed thoughts and attitudes toward mom as the foundation, let's move on to the second thing. That is our tongue, or our words. The excellent wife is described for us in Proverbs 31. It talks about a woman who sacrifices and gives constantly to meet the needs of her family. And much of what she does goes unnoticed because everyone is in bed while she is still working. Train yourself to notice all that she does and tell her you appreciate it. Proverbs 31, 28 and following says, "Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, 'Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates.'" In other words, eulogize her. The word eulogy, we so often limit it to funerals, but it's a word that simply means to speak well of. It talks about saying or writing something good about someone or something. Wouldn't it be awesome if our moms heard the way we think about them, heard kind words from us before they die? And God wants us to choose our words carefully. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." If you have just joined us, you are listening to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda. This is Pastor Paul Brown, and we're taking a moment to talk about how we can honor our moms for Mother's Day. Ephesians 4:29 challenges us to never speak negatively about your mom or your wife to anybody. Build her up in the eyes of others. Don't complain about what she requires you to do or won't let you do. Praise her for who she is. Identify character traits about her that are special. And then thank her for what she has done and currently does for you and for others. Encourage her constantly. I had a man tell me one time that a good rule of thumb was, for every negative statement, or you might call it constructive criticism, you ought to have at least 10 positive statements. You want to create an atmosphere where your mom believes when you open your mouth, something nice is going to come out. Here's another thing you could do. Send her texts and emails for no reason other than to tell her you love her. And if you really want to blow her mind, send her a card in snail mail. There's still something special about getting it delivered in the mail. Well, now that you are blessing her with your thoughts and your tongue, move on to your talents. This means you serve her with your talents and abilities, whatever that talent may be. Maybe you're a gifted songwriter. Write her a song. Maybe you're good with poetry. Write her a poem. Maybe you have some particular skills with carpentry or something. Build something for her. Do acts of service. Something that registers with her. Something that really makes her feel honored and loved. It was interesting in my marriage. We've been married now for 31 and a half years, and the first 10 years in, I kept trying to love my wife in a way that made sense to me. and I kept saying nice things to her and hugging her. I had no idea that her real love language was acts of service. And when we talked about it one day and I found that out, I found it so much easier now to do things for her that make sense to her. Do that for your mom. Find out what it is so that it's not just words anymore. You are doing things that she feels honored and loved. 1 John 3:16 through 18 says this, "We know love by this, that he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth." In essence, talk is cheap. You need to demonstrate that she matters to you with acts of service. Do something around the house that is beyond what is expected of you. That's honor. Do the dishes without being asked. Vacuum, sweep, and mop without being asked. Wash her car without being asked. Wash and fold the laundry and put it away without being asked. Do the yard work without being asked. Do the grocery shopping without being asked. Massage her shoulders without being asked. And here's one. Help her with her technology issues. Fix her computer problems. Show her how to use her smartphone. Let her know that you are there for her. And especially as she gets older and she's no longer able to do many of the things she was able to do for herself before. Go over and take care of her house and her car. Drive her to doctor's appointments. Run errands with her. Let her know you will always serve her. Well, now you are honoring her with your thoughts, your tongue, and your talents. There's just one more T I want to share with you today. Honor her with your treasures. Be as generous as you can possibly be with your mom. There's a good way to do this. When you are able, when you get past a certain age, pay your own way as soon as you can. I've read some statistics recently that the average age for some people now of moving out of the home is in their mid-30s. That's perhaps in certain situations, there's no choice, but in other situations, pay your own way. Don't be a burden to her. Somebody wrote this wonderful sentiment I read long ago. If you love something, set it free. If it comes back, it will always be yours. If it doesn't come back, it was never yours to begin with. But if it just sits in your living room, messes up your stuff, eats your food, uses your telephone, takes your money, and doesn't appear to realize that you set it free, you either married it or gave birth to it. Don't be that way. Be generous and help meet her basic needs. There should not be an older woman in America that doesn't have her basic needs met by her family. And after you've met her basic needs, give her nice gifts beyond her basic needs. Provide for her. Make her life more enjoyable. She spent so many years providing for you. Find ways to meet her needs. Now, there is a powerful passage in 1 Timothy 5. We read the first two verses earlier, but in verses 3 through 8, it challenges us. Certainly, the church is challenged to take care of widows. But first and foremost, the family of that widow is challenged to take care of her. And it says that if you don't do so, you're worse than an unbeliever. You're saying you're a Christian. You're not acting like a Christian. Christians give. Christians honor. Christians serve. Christians take care of the elderly. If you want details on that text of 1 Timothy 5, you can listen to sermons that we did on that entire book, and you could go to our church website at www.thebridgebiblefellowship.com and search through a whole bunch of sermons there. One survey recently said that barely 50% of American people believe it is the children's responsibility to look after their parents. What an ungodly culture we are in if that's true. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Why would anybody despise their elderly mother? Because quite often, of the time and the money it will cost you to take care of her. And so many people think more of their personal time and their money than they do their mom. How sad is this? If you don't want to be that way, if you want to really minister to your mom as she grows older, then budget for it. Even now, organize your finances. Even if you're a young person, organize your finances so that someday you will have the resources to take care of your mom. If you're struggling and you don't even know how to handle your own budget now, you're barely taking care of yourself, then I strongly encourage you to take some classes on finances. Perhaps Financial Peace University by Dave Ramsey. It's a course we've offered quite frequently at our church. I know a lot of other churches do as well. But create a budget and create a category in your budget to take care of mom. And build up your savings for emergencies that come into her life, not just yours. And then, if she gets older and needs your assistance, invite her into your home and take care of her. Let me wrap this up. God wants us to honor our moms. He wants us to rise up and call them blessed. Don't wait until she's dead. Give her a foretaste of the eulogy you will deliver at her memorial service by speaking well of her every day. Honor her with your thoughts. Honor her with your tongue. Honor her with your talents. Honor her with your treasures. We're in the NBA playoffs right now, and there's an amazing player for the Golden State Warriors named Kevin Durant. A few years back, he played for the Oklahoma City Thunder. He was considered at that time one of the best basketball players in the world. He also happens to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Now, another player, famous player named LeBron James, took the nickname The King. So Kevin Durant took the nickname The Servant. He's been ridiculed by some for taking his Bible with him on trips and reading it all the time. In 2014, when he received the NBA MVP award, during his acceptance speech, he thanked God that he was his Savior, and he thanked a lot of others, but he saved the best for last. He said this, "My grandma couldn't be here. I know she's watching. She's going to text me as soon as I get off the stage. Thank you so much for picking me up after school when I was a kid, fixing me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day, texting me after every single game, telling me I need to stop getting texts, and loving me unconditionally. And last, my mom. I don't think you know what you did. You had my brother when you were 18 years old. 3 years later, I came out. The odds were stacked against us. Single parent with two boys by the time you were 21 years old. Everybody told us we weren't supposed to be here. We went from apartment to apartment by ourselves. One of the best memories I had was when we moved into our first apartment. No bed, no furniture. We just sat in the living room and just hugged each other. We thought we made it. When something good happens to you, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to look back to what brought me here. You wake me up in the middle of the night in the summer times, making me run up a hill, making me do push-ups, screaming at me from the sidelines of my games at 8 or 9 years old. We wasn't supposed to be here. You made us believe. You kept us off the street. You put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You went to sleep hungry. You sacrifice for us. You, the real MVP. The best part of that whole speech was that his mom was sitting in front of him the whole time. Take the time today and every day to honor your mom. Have a great Mother's Day.
You have been listening to The Bridge with Pastor Paul Brown of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. If you are in the area, we would love to have you join us for a worship service on a Sunday morning. We are located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. That is 3 blocks west of Reseda Boulevard on Sherman Way. You can find more information about our church, listen to previous sermons or radio broadcasts, and or financially support this radio ministry on our website, www.thebridgebiblefellowship.com. And please, join us again next Saturday at 7:30 a.m. here on 99.5 FM KKLA, when Pastor Paul will continue his verse-by-verse study of the book of Ecclesiastes.